for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, July the 5th, 1998. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carol Canada of Phoenix, Arizona is the speaker of the evening. Canada's, and they will continue until they say good night. Okay, and I think we'll be have a wonderful, I know we are. We're going to have a wonderful time praising the Lord and victory in Jesus. Jack and Carol Canada, come on and minister as the Lord leads this evening.
Part of Missouri are you from, sister? Well, she's from, you know where Arbord is? That's where she's from. Born and raised in Arbord, Missouri, right here, Boot Hill. Does she look like a Boot Hill to you? She's a Boot Hill. Amen. Anybody still saved out there tonight? Amen. Irma, are you saved? Uh-oh. And she believes she is. That's even better. You need to pray for him. All lipstick on his collar there. Look at that. We're not going to go there, are we, brother? No. It looks like somebody else's lips have already been sealed. Amen. How many love the Lord tonight? Amen. Praise God. I was driving home one Friday when commotion caught my ear. In a field, a crowd was gathered. I could hear them yelling cheer. Tell me, why are you excited? I asked me a certain man. He said, there ain't no better reason. You see, I'm a football fan. So I drove a little further, and I heard another crowd. They were dancing, they were sweating. I heard music playing loud. Then again, why get excited? I asked me another man. He said, man, you're not with it. You see, around here, we're rock music fans. Amen. Look here now. So I went to church that Sunday, and I heard the preacher say, Jesus gave his life to save me, and he's coming back someday. And I started getting happy. How I shouted, how I cried. Someone said, don't get excited. Oh, but this was my reply. You see, I'm a Jesus fan. Out there tonight? Amen. Praise God. Told you to testify. You haven't said nothing to this crowd for long. The girls you have, but I know I want you to say something now, though. Come on. Ain't she look pretty tonight? They say down in Texas, she's cleaner than a boiled chitlin. Look at her. Go ahead.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad to be here tonight. Are you glad? Are you ready for some more deliverance tonight? I am too. Amen. I believe God's going to really do some mighty things tonight. And I just pray that He refreshes you during the singing and that you're ready for the next move. Amen. I believe God can just bring us into from glory to glory, and He can refresh us. We don't have to be wore out. Amen.
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 This is for Irma. I told Irma I'd sing this. Here it is.
It might not be there, oh, when you want, but He's always, He's always right on time. There was the three little Hebrew children, the fiery furnace they did go. Yet old Shadrach, you had Meshach, and the third was Abednego.
You remember them?
Well, now the king went down into that furnace. Hey, there was a fourth man that he did find. He might not be there when you want him, but he's always right on time. Well, it might not be there when you want him, but he's always right on time. He healed the sick, he raised the dead.
Out of Egypt.
Hey, it was a header for the promised land. And old Pharaoh's army was a getting mighty close and had a mighty strong hand. But then Jehovah, he blew his nostrils. He said, children, if you don't mind, I
might not be there when you want me, but I'm always right on time.
Well, it might now the grave was mighty, mighty cold when they laid old Lazarus down. And 4 days went by with nothing going on. Fear and doubt was all around. But my Jesus don't get in no hurry. He said, now Martha, no reason to cry.
I might not be there when you want me, but I'm always right on time.
Say if you know it.
But it might I said that harvest is ready. I know, but the laborers are few. So come, Holy Spirit, come on and tell me what I'm supposed to do.
Now, Brother Willie Nelson might sing like this, and I say,
won't you mold me, won't you make me? Don't let me sit on the pew like some folks do, because the harvest is ready, my friend, but laborers are few.
How many know He only needs a few? Amen.
I said that harvest
is ready, my friend labors field. The disciples of Jesus, the Lord sent them out two by two. Oh, through those highways and byways, no extra purse, coins, or shoes. Lord, he said, heal them and restore them, bring them a life whole and new, as you do. Because the harvest is ready, I know the labors are few. I said that harvest is ready, I know, but the labors are few. Oh, so come on, Holy Spirit, and tell me what I'm supposed to do. Come on, sing with me, mama. Won't you mold me and make me, but don't let me sit on the deep like some folks do. Because that harvest is ready, I know, but the labors are few. Sing with me now. The harvest is ready, but the labors are few. The harvest is ready, I know, but the labors are few. So come, Holy Spirit, and show me what I'm supposed to do. So come on, Holy Spirit, and show me what I'm supposed to do. Won't you mold me and make me, but don't let me settle with you. Won't you mold me and make me, but don't let me sit on the beat like some folks do. Because that harvest is ready, I know that the labors are here. I said that harvest is ready, I know that the labors are here. So that harvest is ready, I know that the labors are few. Now that harvest is ready, my friend, how about you? Amen. I wrote a song a few years ago. It's called Deliverance. Anybody heard about Deliverance before? Amen. I wrote this song at a time, and my wife shared this afternoon with the ladies on fear some. And I wrote this song, and I sang it for the first time. We had a little Sunday school class at our church, about 450 people, and I used to do praise and worship years ago for that group. And when I sang that song, it seemed like it just permeated the place. It permeated me. We sang this one time at an Indian reservation about 3 years ago. Navajo Indian Reservation. We used to go out there quite a bit. And probably over half of the Indian culture back there didn't speak English. Most of them were bilingual, but about half of them were older. They still held onto the Navajo tongue. And we had a huge tent. About 1,000 Indians came from all over the reservation. And I sang the song, and it seemed like it just went across. I sang it about 5 times. And half of them couldn't understand what we were singing. But it was one of those sovereign times where God just chose, He chose to impart to us that day His Spirit to bring deliverance to many of those people that were there, and for a variety of different reasons. So I wrote it. It's called Deliverance, and you know, get in with us if you want to, and listen to the words.
Spirit of pain, walk away from me. In the name of Jesus, I've been set free from the powers and principalities of this whole world. Oh, spirit of pain, walk away from me. In God's word, I've been set free. In the name of Jesus, spirit of pain, walk away from me. Oh, spirit of fear, walk away from me. Jesus, I've been set free from the powers and principalities of this whole world. away from me.
There was a man Satan had a hold, lived in a cave that was oh so cold. No ropes and no chains and no bars could hold that man down. Oh, but then my Jesus came walking the shore. The legions from hell couldn't hold him anymore. Ended up sliding over the cliff to return no more. But chance got now. Legions of hell walk away from me. In the name of Jesus, I've been set free. From the powers and principalities of this whole world. Oh, legions of hell walk away from me. In God's word, I've been set free. In the name of Jesus, legions of hell walk away from me.
Amen. Your hands together. How many need deliverance tonight? We all need some deliverance tonight. Amen. Father, release your power upon your people tonight, God. Prepare their hearts for the word of what Isaac's to bring in Jesus' name. Now, does your life, Satan, have a hold? You're living in a cave that's oh so cold. Have the sins and cares of this world to get you all bound up? Well, then let my Jesus walk on your shoulder. He'll set you free now for him. Call on his name, stand on his word, and then return no more. Hey, I said legions of hell walk away from me. In the name of Jesus, I've been set free. From the powers and principalities of this whole world. Oh, legions of hell walk away from me. In God's word,
I'm going to let my wife come on and minister to you so she has plenty of time. Thinking about deliverance and ministry like we have, and it's, how many are a little bit fatigued tonight? How many are a little bit fatigued tonight? I mean, deliverance is taxing on your body. It really is. It's taxing on those in the ministry, and it's taxing on those that are receiving what the Spirit of God is doing in their lives. And it can be a very strenuous part of our day. And so, why don't you stand real quick if you could. Not real quick, just stand. I think the real quick is history. Amen? Amen. We're going to stand. Now, just kind of shake yourself. Come on, shake it. Yeah. All right. Look at somebody else and say, I'm going to make it. I don't know about you, but I'm going to make it. Amen. Hug somebody's neck real quick and tell me love them in the Lord. Can you do that? Come on. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. That's enough. Don't get carried away now. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Let's give this little gal from Arbor, Missouri a hand. Can we do that? Amen. Hey.
Amen. I can't believe anybody in the world besides me knows where Arbor, Missouri is. It's God's country, huh? Well, I don't know about Arbor, but I thank God I was delivered out of Arbor. So, it's just a little speck of a place. And anyway, we got to thank God for our roots, some of them anyway. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We've had such a wonderful time being here. Can everyone see me? No? Some of you in the back can't see me? How about this? No, not yet. Is that better? Okay. We've had a wonderful time. I've really had an excitement in my heart about coming to this particular camp. when Glenn and Irma was with us in March, they invited us to come and be a part, and this was the weekend that we could do it. But I've had an excitement in my spirit. And you know, when you minister and you have that excitement, you know God's going to do something real special. And I know He's already begun that, and He's going to continue it through the camp, through the end of the camp. And thank you, Jack. And I just, while you're here, you're going to hear a lot about certain kinds of deliverance and deliverance from the occult and things like that. But the Lord put on my heart this afternoon, I was really seeking the Lord on what I should share, because my heart is to families. My heart is to strengthen the family, to strengthen the marriages. You know, I'm here to proclaim to you tonight, we need our marriages strengthened. There are things and issues of our lives. Now, I'm not going to speak on marriages tonight, but I'm telling you, we need to get our acts together in our marriages, because Satan has unleashed all hell against the family. And the way that he destroys the family is that he attacks mom and dad. And so when the marriage is weak, or when the enemy comes in, then our children are vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. And we just had a very dear friend of ours who knows us. We know her. We love her very much. And we seem like when we leave town, many times things fall apart. But we got a call from Deanna, who works with us in ministry, saying one of our dear friends has left her husband for another man. And it's a shock. We can't believe it. But I'm here to proclaim to you today that in the last days there will be seducing spirits that are unleashed upon the land. And we're living in those days where there is seducing spirits. And you might not think that you're vulnerable to seducing spirits, but I'm here to tell you, if you think that, you're kidding yourself. You're deceiving yourself. But by the grace of God, we would all be seduced. But it's only by the grace of God that He can hold us steady. And as we embrace Him and hold the hem of His garment, will He hold us steady. But there are things this week you're going to learn. There's things you're going to hear. But you have to have a heart to say, God, whatever there is in me, I want it out. And we have to deal with the lust issue. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the things of this life, the greed. There's greed in many people. And we've got to deal with those things that would seduce us and lead us astray from what God has for us. And so, you know, we probably will pray for the couples and the marriages before we leave, because that's in my heart and Jack's heart to do. But, you know, I encourage you to look at our tape table. What's an investment of $10 and $15 if it can bring healing to your relationship at home and your family? Amen? If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16? I remember last summer, we were on our way to, we did a 15-week road trip. And after the first week on the road, the Lord spoke to me in the book of Mark, chapter 4, where Jesus was in the boat with His disciples, and He had been teaching from His boat. And He looked over to His disciples and He said, it's time to cross over to the other side. And when I read that, the Lord quickened to me and said, Carol, it's time to cross over to the other side. Now this week, some of you are crossing over. Amen? You're leaving that place where you've been and you're crossing over to the other side. And so they got in the boat, and it says other little boats followed them. And when they were right in the middle of the lake, a great storm came against, it says it was a squall. In other words, water, the storm and wind was so strong that it would pick up literally the waters from the lake and it would fill the boats to where the boats were almost sinking. And it says that Jesus was asleep at the stern of the ship. And the stern is a place of control of the ship. And it says that He was asleep, and the disciples became very fearful. And they woke Him up and said, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? And Jesus got up, and he rebuked the wind. He rebuked the storm. And He said, peace, be still. And it all became quiet. And He looked over to His disciples, and He said to them, He really kind of rebuked them. And He said, why are you so still fearful? Why do you have such little faith? And I believe if I could take it another step, he was saying to them, don't you know who I am? What you've been through with me to this point, don't you know yet who I am? I'm the master of the wind. I'm the peace in the midst of your storm. But the one thing, if you keep reading that, that to me was very interesting and an eye-opener, is that there was something awaiting them on the other side. See, they weren't just going over somewhere, but there was something waiting them. And there was miracles waiting on the other side of them, wasn't it? And we know that Satan is not omnipresent. In other words, he's not everywhere at the same time. But he depends on principalities and powers and ruling wicked spirits in heavenly places to do his bidding and his control. So there was a principality, obviously, that was over on the other side that saw Jesus coming toward him. And I believe the wind and the storm came from the enemy. Because if it had been a natural thing or from God, Jesus wouldn't have rebuked it. He would never have rebuked his Father. And he wouldn't have rebuked nature. But I believe it was the enemy that knew that he was coming over to the other side and he caused a storm to come. And I'm here to tell you tonight, on that other side was a demon-possessed man who lived in caves. Just like we just sang about the deliverance song. This man was so demon-possessed that the people had to put him out in the countryside and he had to live in caves. And it says that he would even sit at night and he would cut himself with rocks. He was so tormented and so demon-possessed. But what happened? As soon as Jesus stepped on the shore, that man recognized him, or those devils did, and that man ran to Jesus and bowed down at his feet and said, what do you have to do with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? And then Jesus asked those devils, what is your name? And they said, our name is Legion, for we are many. And they begged Jesus to let them go into the swine. And Jesus gave them permission, and they came out of the man, and they went into the swine. Now, the exciting part is that man was clothed in his right mind. And he went into the city and he followed Jesus everywhere. In fact, it says that he even begged Jesus, can I go with you and become your disciple and follow you? And he said, no, you go back to your people and testify of what God has done.
Yes.
When you leave this place this week, you're going and stepping over to another side.
Yes.
And there are miracles waiting you on the other side. There's some restoration. There's some breakthroughs. There's some blessings that have been robbed from you. And the devil will he'll put a storm against you. And he'll make you feel fearful and have unbelief. But you know tonight that what you need to do is speak to that storm and say, devil, you're a liar. Because all that Satan could cast upon them that night was fear. And we talked about fear today. We had some deliverance, didn't we? But I'm here to tell you, you need to fight it with all of your life. Fight fear as an enemy of your soul, because what's awaiting you is your miracle that you've been praying for. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. That wasn't part of my message, but it was in my heart to give. Because Satan, when he loses ground in us, he always will war and fight to regain that place that he had in us. And there's going to be a fight. There's going to be a fight to the very end. Amen?
Amen.
Now, are you guys awake out there? I know you are.
Amen.
Amen. But we're here in a fight. And for so many years, I didn't fight. I was a wimp. And I was a coward in the kingdom of God. And I've learned that in order to get into our destiny and go forward in God, that we're going to have to war and we're going to have to fight. So if nothing else, come to those prayer meetings. Learn how to pray. Listen to how they pray. And begin to pray like them. Amen? And God will begin to energize those prayers with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you tonight about the spirit of Python. And in Acts chapter 16, we'll begin reading in verse 16. And we're reading about Paul and Silas. Chapter 16, verse 16 of the book of Acts. And it says, and it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, or some translations says vexed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. And when her masters saw that her hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. Wouldn't it be exciting if we were accused of troubling our city? Amen. Verse 21, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them secure. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened from his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are still here. Then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to them and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. And now when he had brought them into his house, he ate food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word that brings life. We thank you for your word that brings deliverance. And we thank you for your word, Father God, tonight, even the revelation of your word. And we ask, Father, tonight that even the children, there would be a peace upon them. We pray that all distractions would cease in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that your hand of peace would be outstretched to us, that you would quicken our minds and open our minds of understanding tonight, that we may receive what you would have for us, that we may feast at the banqueting table. And I pray, Lord, for an anointing of power, for an anointing of deliverance and healing tonight, God. I pray, Father, that you even bring to light hidden memories and the things that have been forgotten and pushed under the rug, that we can deal with them tonight, toe to toe and eyeball to eyeball and nose to nose with the enemy, and proclaim that we're going to be free in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you. And I ask, God, even those that are spiritually dead tonight, God, that you would raise them from that death, God, that you would rebuke death from them, Lord, that they can come alive in the Spirit, Lord, that they can return to their first love, Lord, and embrace their destiny in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Religion was big business in Philippi where this happened. Everyone had their own gods, their own spirits, and their own idols. There were temples, there were priests everywhere. And there was constant travel in and out of the city. And this little girl that we just read about, she was probably an adolescent or a young teenager. You know, probably the age of some of these teenagers that were here. But she had been sought after and bought by these shrewd businessmen because of the strange gifts that she had operating in her life. She was able to tell the future. The spirit of divination working through this girl had the entire city bound up. Are you hearing me? That spirit of divination had that entire city bound up. When Paul cast that spirit out of her, it released salvation into the city. I'm here to tell you the spirit of divination in our lives and the spirit of witchcraft and fortune telling is one of the greatest strongholds of keeping our families from coming in to salvation.
That's right.
And we're going to deal with some of that tonight because we want everyone saved that's in our family and our household. That jailer was promised, today you will be saved, you and your household.
Hallelujah.
And I'm here to tell you, God wants to set our families free.
Yes,
and there are families and there are some of your husbands or your wives that still don't know God, and they're getting later in the years of later in life, in their golden years supposedly. And they still have not accepted the Lord or they've not served God. But I'm here to tell you, it could be a hidden power of witchcraft and divination over their lives. And God's going to begin to reveal those things to us so we can put the blood of Jesus over them, and we can intercede on their behalf and break the shackles like we're broken in that prison that day. Amen. Praise God. The Greek word for divination here is the word from which we get our English word python. So this girl was called a pythoness. How many of you know what a python snake is? You probably know more out here than we know in Arizona. But a python swallows its prey, doesn't it? It really swallows it whole. But also pythons will, they can hide in trees and they can be hidden and concealed to where when their prey comes, they'll just fall right on them. A python also can wrap itself around its prey and it begins to squeeze life out of its prey. And you can take a deep breath and it'll squeeze on you so you can't breathe any deeper. And that's what's happened to some of us in this place tonight. There's been a spirit of python in our lives that squeezed out the breath of God off of our lives, that squeezed out our finances. I believe that that's one of the things that ministry should fight more than anything is the spirit of python. Because the spirit of python can come in and can squeeze the very source of life out of a ministry and try and bring it to nothing and destroy it. I believe that there's a spirit of python wrapped around our nation. I believe it. It's wrapped around it in divination. We are in a time now where the witchcraft and psychics is becoming the number one religion in America.
Right.
Did you know that Christianity used to be the number one religion? It is no longer. Witchcraft, the New Age, psychics, going to fortune tellers, and those things have become the foremost religion in America. Muslims is right behind them. But I'm here to tell you tonight, we've got to do something about our lives. We've got to do something about our families. And we can change even our cities through prayer and intercession. Just like Paul did that day. That whole city had been bound up by a spirit of python. And Paul rebuked it and that thing left that very hour and loosened that city for salvation. Amen. The name was used to refer to persons supposedly who indwelled by the spirit of a Greek god Apollo, associated with the giving of the famous Greek oracles or mythology. You know, mythology is taught in our high schools, isn't it, kids? And that it's a Greek mythology is really a form of divination. It's a form of what was taught back in these days. And supposedly was inspired by this Greek god Apollo. And Apollo was worshipped as the python god at the shrine of Delphia in central Greece. This girl's involuntary utterances were regarded as the voice of that god, Apollo. Thus, she was much in demand by people who wished to have their fortunes told. She read palms. She told fortunes. She did astrology charts, suppose maybe, just like our psychic hotlines are today. Did you know that you can call a psychic, a 900 number on a psychic, and they'll give you the first 10 minutes free? And then it'll cost you maybe $5 a minute after that. But the spirit of python works in these types of people to gain power over their prey. People who come to them and yield their souls to them, that spirit of python will gain power over their souls and their prey. The things that this girl did, many of us or our family members have done in our own lives, or our moms have done, or fathers have done, or we've known people that have. We've thought it was harmless. Some of us have even laughed it off thinking, you know, maybe went to a palm reader, it was not true, that was not believable, and went away laughing about it. Yet the spirit of Python has hindered our walk. It's hindered our way. It's hindered our walk with God because we've not understood how to repent and get freed from it. I remember hearing a story about Jack Hayford many years ago before his church became large. It says that he would grow to about 70 people and do pretty good. And he said he'd have a church split and he'd lose half of them. And he said he had the hardest time getting to 100 people. And he said, you know, about the time he would get close to 100, they'd split again. And finally, the Lord revealed to him that there was a spirit of Python over his church and over that area. And he began to war against it and intercede against it and broke that power. And we know the results of that particular prayer because Jack Hayford probably has 10,000 people in his church or more. But if you have, turn with me to the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. We're going to read a few scriptures about what God says about going to mediums and fortune tellers and diviners. Leviticus 19, verse 31. It says, "Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Chapter 20, verse 6. "And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people." In other words, if you go to such a person, your soul can be cut off for eternity. But thank God we're not living under this law anymore, that Jesus did a work of Calvary that we could be freed from that power that Satan holds over us and our family. Amen. Ezekiel 13. Ezekiel 13. Verse 17. Ezekiel 13, verse 17. It says, "Likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own heart, prophesy against them, and say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for their heads of people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people and keep yourselves alive?" Verse 20. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic charms by which you hunt souls there like birds. I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like birds." Verse 22, "Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and you have strengthened the hands of the wicked, so that he does not turn from his wicked way to save his life. Therefore, you shall no longer envision futility nor practice divination, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord." These women would sew magic pillows and make veils. So when you would go to one of these, or have your fortune read or your palm read, they would put this veil over you. And supposedly there was magic power in that veil. And you'd sit there and this veil would go over you and they would start doing their divination on you. But what the whole scripture I just read says is that you hunt the souls. These women that were moving in this occult practices would hunt the souls of God's people. When one of us have ever gone to a fortune teller or a palm reader, or our fathers have, or our mothers, or our grandparents, they have surrendered their souls to those fortune tellers. And there is an ownership over the very souls of those people. That's why God is telling Ezekiel, prophesy to my people. And prophesy to the women who sew the magic charms and make the veils. To let my people's soul go. Yes. And I'm here to tell you, many of us are fighting all hell in our lives as Christians. And we've not understood why. because there's been someone in our family bloodline or us ourselves, maybe before salvation, but we went to a fortune teller or they went and they surrendered the souls of that bloodline to the enemy. And there is a captivity of the soul, of the very soul that's keeping deliverance away, that's keeping salvation from our families, that's keeping our children in rebellion, that's doing all kinds of making havoc in our families. And God says, I want my people's soul set free. Amen?
Yes.
How many of you are ready to do that tonight?
Yes.
I believe it. I am too. Several years ago, I began to have a desire in my heart to pray for people who were bound by the occult. And I knew that there were people in the church, just like you and I. I'm going to be honest with you, people. I feel that's one of the most, probably one of the strongest powers, demonic powers on the church today is what I'm talking about tonight.
Yes.
And that's why I'm driving it home. You're going to get a lot of this kind of prayer this week. But I'm trying to lay a foundation so that, and maybe use my own life as a little example to you to maybe a light will come on. But we've got to get freed from these things in order to cross over to our destiny. Amen? Little did I know that that power, that same power I had a desire to pray over other people, was on me. I prayed for authority to deliver people from the occult. And one day, it was interesting, I had the phone rang and a woman called that I didn't know. And she called me for prayer. And she had been sick for many, many years, and she had what they called an environmental sickness, where she was her body rejected everything. And her skin was red hot, and she would burn like fire, and the doctors couldn't help her, and she was tormented in her mind. And so I began to pray for her, and I did the best I could to pray. And when I hung up the phone, I felt these evil spirits jump on my back. And I remember I had such a headache, immediate headache, and it was so bad I couldn't even turn my head. And I realized that I didn't have authority over the occult. So I began to ask some questions in my family, because I was in ministry then, and when I would get up to preach or to try and sing, I'd feel this big old hand around my throat, or I'd get real hoarse, or I couldn't hardly talk, and I would lose my voice. And I didn't understand what it was, but I knew that it was the enemy that would try and shut me up and keep me from ministering the gospel. And so as I began to ask questions in my family, my dad came over one day. And my dad was a godly man. My dad had gotten saved. He was the town drunk of Arbord, Missouri, when he got saved. And he, you know, there was a lot of shame on our family because of it. But when my dad got saved, he really got saved. He got delivered from alcohol and everything right then. And so, but there were things that I knew that were hindering even him. And I asked my dad one day when he came over to my house, I said, did anyone ever go to a fortune teller in our family? I said, did they ever play with Ouija boards or water witching of any kind or palm reading? And he said, well, you know, my mom did, your grandmother. And my grandmother was a Pentecostal lady, but she used to go to fortune tellers. And I was kind of shocked at that time. And I said, well, Dad, did you ever go? And just like that, when I asked him that question, it was like a light went on, and he remembered. He said, you know something? I did go one time when I was in the Navy. And we were stationed, I believe it was San Francisco. And he said that I went, there was a carnival. And I went in, and it was during the World War II. And he said I had my palm read. And she said some silly thing that it didn't make sense to me, and I knew it wasn't true. So I just left, kind of laughed it off. And the moment my dad spoke that to me, I looked at my dad and I said, Dad, you're still under the power of that fortune teller. And when I spoke those words, my head began to spin and I got real dizzy and real nauseated. And I said, Dad, I'm under the power of that fortune teller. And we both fell to our knees and we began to cry out to God in repentance of what my grandmother had done and my dad had done. and ask the Lord to command the soul of that fortune teller to come out of us and to let us go and to bind every spirit guide that had been assigned to us. Because when you go to a fortune teller, when you leave with a lot of baggage and you don't even know it.
Right.
Not only that, but you pay for it. But there are spirit guides that will go with you to carry out the wishes of that witch or that warlock, to carry out their desire. Some of them will tell you you'll only live to be 40. When you get close to your 40th birthday, you start getting fearful and scared. Some of you have accidents. There's all kinds. Some people will die prematurely because someone divined over that family. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus came to set us free from the powers of darkness and set our path on the path that He has chosen for our lives, that we will live out every day that He's ordained in this life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Tonight we're gonna give the devil a black eye and we're going to get him off some of our backs. Amen? We're going to get him out of our homes and off of our children. And we're going to deal with the enemy and the legal right that he has over our lives. You know, most of us followed Princess Diana before she died and even her funeral. But do you know that 2 weeks before she died, that she had gone, and it showed on CNN News that she was getting into her private helicopter with that boyfriend, Dodi Fayed, and they were going to her personal psychic. And when I saw that, Deanna and I saw that, our mouths dropped and we were so grieved in our hearts because she had such a tremendous influence upon the world and people. Like people wanted to dress like her and look like her and everything. That we knew that her doing that and the news reporting it, that people would run to their own private psychics. That they would begin to do things maybe that they didn't before. And we were so grieved when that happened. And in 2 weeks, she was dead. And I'm here to tell you, some people might have honored her and all that, but I'm here to tell you, the woman was bound by the occult. There was such darkness and oppression, even with Prince Charles and that family. There's heavy occult power on them. And God's bringing down that kingdom of darkness that's so influencing our society. Hollywood is full of things. Hollywood movie stars, they don't believe in God and they don't embrace God. They mock God. And they embrace Hinduism, they embrace spiritualists, they embrace New Age, anything that's anti-Christ. Yet we as a society worship movie stars. And I'm here to tell you that power is coming down. God is going to bring it to nothing. Because, and I'm telling you, I know that God is doing a work. Some of the symptoms of occult power in our lives. Number one is an inability to read the Word of God. Or no desire to read the Word. No desire to grow and mature spiritually. Or if you ever gotten your Word at night when you're in bed and you fall asleep, that could be a symptom of occult power on your life. When you can't even stay awake long enough to sleep. Some of you are fighting sleep here tonight and it's not because you're tired. But there's occult power on you that doesn't want you to hear truth. And will put you to sleep. Like a spirit of slumber. God wants to break that thing off of you. Because it's hindering you from hearing. It'll make you spiritually deaf and it'll make you spiritually blind. And God wants to set us free that we can hear the word of the Lord and it can change our lives. I'm here to tell you every sermon that is preached should bring us into repentance. It should bring us closer to God. But there should be a power of God that goes with every sermon that brings conviction and brings repentance. And if there's not, then, you know, there's nothing more miserable than dead religion. Even an old sermon that's dead and has no breath of God on it is boring and miserable. Amen? But when God breathes on it, it brings life. It brings change and even a desire to change. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. No prayer life or no desire to pray. Chronic fear. We talked about that up in the ladies' meeting. Chronic fear or fear of everything. Sicknesses. Back pain and back problems. My father had back surgeries. His two sisters had back surgeries. My brother had back was broken. My cousin had back surgeries. My other cousin had back surgeries. And I know that back problems and herniated discs and all these things are caused from the occult. It's like that python spirit is wrapped around your spine, and it wants to cripple you, and it wants to cause you to live in sickness, in a torment. Amen? Financial problems, poverty, constant breakdowns in your home and your family. Have you ever had those weeks where everything breaks? Your car breaks, your air conditioning breaks, your farm equipment breaks. Everything breaks, and it costs hundreds of dollars. Boy, we've had that. Depression can be from occult power. Divorce can be occult power on your bloodline. Controlling spirits in your life can be because someone or you went to a fortune teller, and you become controlling, or your grandmother went to a fortune teller, or your mother did, or your father did. And that controlling spirits can be from the occult power. Alcoholism and drug addiction and cigarettes, nicotine, can be from occult power that's on your family. And I mentioned it before, any kind of addiction, of pornography, of lust, of adultery, those things can be because of occult power. Unsaved family, I mentioned. Family that has no desire for God could be because their souls are owned by the demonic powers working through fortune tellers or palm readers. Amen? Praise you, Jesus. No advancement in the kingdom comes without a fight or without a price. What we do on earth in prayer determines what happens in the heavenlies. Remember in Daniel, the book of Daniel, Daniel prayed 21 days. And it says the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said that God heard his prayer on the first day. But the angel said he had to fight the prince of the kingdom of Persia to get through to Daniel. And I'm here to tell you, there are demons and powers of darkness that are assigned to your family, to cities, to neighborhoods that want to destroy and hold into captivity. There's power. There can be demons assigned to your family of cancer, of incest, of homosexuality, of poverty, of abandonment, assignment of murder over your family, of fear, of rejection, of suicide. I believe in my heart that we have the ability by the power and the authority of Jesus Christ to change these things that are over our families and over our lives and over our cities and even over your little neighborhood. You can so clean out a neighborhood through prayer that salvation will come to your neighborhood. In the book of Ephesians, Paul reminds the church that we are in constant battle with forces of darkness, and we should use every spiritual weapon at our disposal. Ephesians 6:12, it reads about, we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers and wicked spirits in heavenly places. If the devil is bombarding your mind with lust and lust thoughts, bind them. It's time you bind the enemy and cast him down. Declare war on the enemy. You have to leave with this, people. You have to take it home. You have to have a warring spirit stirred up within you and a determination that you're not going to allow the enemy to come back. Some of you are so tormented with lust. Your mind just burns all the time with lustful thoughts and desires. That is so demonic. And God wants you to declare war against that enemy. Put the blood of Jesus over it. And don't allow your family and your marriage become another casualty and statistic. Amen? We have to fight for our marriages, people. Jack and I have to fight for our marriage. And it's a continual fight. You're going to have to fight for your children and for your husband and for your wife and for your families. In Ephesians 2, verse 6, it says, we must learn to pray from our position in heaven. I mentioned this earlier, but it talks about Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. Amen? Far above all powers and principalities and world rulers of darkness. Far above all might and dominion and above every name that is named. And it also goes on to say in Ephesians 2:6 that he has seated us with Christ in heavenly places next to the Father. Amen? That we are seated with Christ. And what our problem is we get down here and we live so fleshly that we don't walk after the Spirit the way we should. We're not living as spiritual beings that we are. that we walk after the flesh so much that we feel the enemy is over us. In reality, we are to be seated at the right hand of the Father with Jesus, high above every power and principality and ruler and dominion and every name that is named in heavenly places. And I'm here to tell you, when we begin to get a hold of that, we begin to pray and intercede and put ourselves in the position that we're to be with Christ above the enemy instead of below the enemy. Then we begin to put the enemy under our feet. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Jesus is our high priest and he's our intercessor. His authority is determined by the action of the church. In Jesus' name, we are praying in his stead, in his authority, in his position, and his power. Amen? We have the authority and the ability to control how much hatred is in our families and how much hatred is in our neighborhoods, how much witchcraft and deception is in our cities. We have that authority and that power if we can get a hold of this, people. Through prayer, we can in Christ, eliminate demonic influences over our families and over our husbands and over our wives and our children. When you change the atmosphere around you, the old sin nature is under siege. Instead of perversion, we can have integrity. Instead of a stronghold of witchcraft, there can be a healthy fear of God. Instead of hatred, there can be love. We need to pray from heaven, not earth. Amen? So that we can do the work of God and what he's called us to do. Amen. No advancement comes without a fight or a price. I want you to stand to your feet, and we're going to pray tonight. I just felt, you know, we're only going to be here another day, and I felt we need to get as much prayer in as possible. This is something that I have fought. You know, some of you, I've heard some of you say, oh, I've prayed over that once before. I've prayed over fortune tellers in my family. You know something? I've been praying for probably almost 10 years to get completely free from the effects of my father and my grandmother going to fortune tellers. It doesn't come off easy. You know, it's easy to go to one. But sometimes you've got to fight all hell to get freed from it. Yeah. And the effects of it. Some of you suffer poverty and lack all the time. Aren't you tired of it?
Hallelujah.
I'm tired of it.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Some of you are sick all the time with disease. And I'm tired of it. Aren't you tired of it? I'm tired of the people of God looking like slaves to the kingdom of darkness. You know, we're something special.
Yeah.
We've been bought with a price.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And royal blood flows through our veins.
Hallelujah.
It does not glorify God when we live defeated. It does not glorify God when we walk with our head bent down and low, because of the troubles of life that have so overwhelmed us. And God wants to lift us up above those shadows. And he wants us to break those things off of our lives. And I just feel we need to come up. Make your way up. We're going to pray. There's real anointing up here. And I just think moving from where you are would help you. But come on up. And we're going to pray and just ask the Lord to move out in the gifts tonight. Praise you, Father. It's still early, so we're going to do some praying. So don't leave. You might miss your breakthrough. Amen. Praise you, Father. How many of these kids have gone to slumber parties and done seances? See, it's almost like that's what slumber parties are all about, isn't it? See, the enemy's already tried to hook. See, I did that when I was a little girl in 8th grade. Didn't know it, but that iniquity was already on me from what I was born with. To even put a fascination to do those things. But we're going to ask the Lord to release you tonight, okay? And to forgive you of those things. Are you ready to do that? Because we don't want your path. We don't want what God has for you aborted. We don't want the enemy to abort your destiny. We want you to walk in the Lord and be blessed of God.
Yes.
And to marry in the will of God.
Yes.
And that your marriage would be for life.
Yes.
That you wouldn't have to live in divorce like some of our families have had to, or our parents. Amen. How many are ready to declare war?
Hallelujah. Lift your hands. We're going to do some praying tonight. We're going to do some warring. Father, I ask that your anointing would drop down right now in the name of Jesus. Your anointing to bring deliverance. Father, I even call to remembrance those hidden memories and hidden things that have been done in their lifetime that's been concealed in secret and hidden, Father. And I command it to come to light by the Holy Ghost tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you just move across these people tonight, God. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, right now, pray with me. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, I confess before you all the sins and iniquities of the occult in my bloodline, of going to fortune tellers and palm readers, Ouija boards, spiritists, talking to the dead. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive my bloodline. Put the blood of Jesus over this iniquity that has robbed me, that has hindered my way. In Jesus' name, I declare war against the powers of darkness, the spirit of Python that has bound me, my family, my spouse, my children, my unsaved loved ones. I've had enough. And I declare war against the spirit of Python, against the occult powers, in the name of Jesus. I put the blood of Jesus over every sin. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive my family. Forgive my grandparents. Forgive for 10 generations everyone who surrendered their soul to instruments of Satan. Washed in the blood of Jesus. I have faith in the shed blood of Jesus. And I look to the cross of Calvary. Put the blood of Jesus over me. Wash me. Cleanse me, Lord. Deliver me. Let my soul go free. I command the soul of the witch and the wizard to be bound and to come out of me. To loosen your hold. Come out of me. Come out of my children. Come out of my spouse. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I break your power. I crush you under the feet of Jesus. I declare war against you. I rebuke poverty. I rebuke sickness. I rebuke back trouble. I rebuke herniated discs. I rebuke this sleepiness and slumber, spiritual blindness, spiritual deafness. I command you to loosen me in Jesus' name. I break the power of divorce over my family. You're a liar, devil. You'll not have my marriage. You'll not have my children's marriage. But I war against you, eyeball to eyeball. Toe to toe, nose to nose, you loosen my family, you loosen my marriage, you loosen my children. I break your power. I bind a strong man over my home, over my neighborhood. I bring you down under the feet of Jesus. I war in the heavenlies, in my position next to Christ. And I look down on the enemy. And I command your powers to come down. Forgive me, Lord, for Ouija boards. Forgive me, Lord, for seances, for tarot cards, coffee ground readings, all the workings of the occult. I stand guilty before you. And I cry for your mercy. Deliver me, Lord. Deliver my family, God. Break the hand of the enemy, Lord. Sever the power of the past. Bind the spirit guides that were assigned to me through these sins. I command you, spirit guides. Jesus' name. Go. You have to go. In Jesus' name. Leave my home. Leave my bedroom. In Jesus' name. Say, Father, I ask for forgiveness for all the lust. Forgive me, God, for the adultery of my heart, for looking at another with lust in my heart, for desiring another. Forgive me for every person I've slept with outside of marriage. I cry for mercy, Lord. Forgive me, Father. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Release my soul from captivity, Lord. I ask you, Father, I tear down the stronghold of lust and burning desire in my life. I break the power of seducing spirit. I will not yield to you by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. I command lust to go. I command you to leave me. I command unclean spirits to come out of me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I rebuke the spirit of divorce and strife in my home. I command the addictions right now. Put the blood of Jesus over the addictions in my life and my children and my family. Say, devil, I command you to loosen me and my family. I break the power of alcoholism and the pattern of alcoholism. I break that iniquity and drug abuse. I command the spirit of rock and roll music and heavy metal music to be bound over my children and my grandchildren. I break your hold. Come down. You let them go. In the name of Jesus, I command you to let them go. For they shall live and serve God. They shall be counted among the righteous. And they shall serve God in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Now praise Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Just keep praising Him. Keep praising Him. Things are lifting. Things are being broken. Hallelujah. Father, we pray over our neighborhoods, every neighborhood that's represented, God. I tear down the strongholds of drugs and murder over our neighborhoods, of a complacency, of antichrist power, of rebellion. And I command the strongholds to come down. I strip the enemy of its illegitimate authority. And I establish over our neighborhoods and our cities the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you have come out of the Catholic Church. Can I see your hand? Some of you? A few of you. In the Catholic Church, there's good people in the Catholic Church. We're not here to blast people by any means. But when you pray to dead saints, and you think a dead saint and a dead statue is going to protect you, that's necromancy. Because you're praying to the dead. And the Word of God says necromancy. When you yield to that, your soul will be cut off. And necromancy is you're calling up, conjuring up the dead spirit. And you're praying to them. And you're trying to communicate like a medium would. And it's wrong. That's why going and talking to a dead relative or going like to a medium and saying, "Where is my Father in heaven?" Or is my mother, I missed her, you know, can she say something to me? That's all necromancy. And I'm here to tell you, you're opening the door for the enemy to come in and torment. And if you've ever done that, or even those who are in the Catholicism background, lift your hands. We're going to pray over that. Father, say, Father, let's all do it, because I guarantee you there's been people in 10 generations that's done it in our families. Father, I ask that you forgive us and forgive our bloodlines of necromancy of talking to the dead, of conjuring up the dead. Wash in the blood of Jesus. I ask that you release me, Lord, from that power of iniquity, that you put the blood of Jesus over that iniquity and deliver, I pray. Deliver me. I bind every spirit of necromancy that's in me and around me. And I command you to go. I reject you. I rebuke you. Forgive me, Father, for my idolatry, believing that something dead could protect me. Forgive me, Father. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me, Lord. Deliver me, God. Deliver my family, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Some of you have had family, especially in this area. It's everywhere. That's been in the Masons or Eastern Stars. Yes, lift your hands. If Eastern Stars, Rainbow Girls, all those things. And I'm here to tell you, there's such a curse that can come from those vows that were taken. My father was a third-degree Mason, and they only allowed him to be a Mason after he became a Christian. And he was saved in a Baptist church, and he didn't know any different. He thought he was now accepted as an upright citizen in the community, so it was an honor, supposedly, to be invited to become a Mason. And I'm here to tell you, there are curses that they and vows that they take as a Mason or an Eastern Star or Rainbow Girls that affect us and our children. One of them is that your throat would be slit from ear to ear if you ever exposed those vows or exposed masonry. And I've had my surgery on my neck. If you see closely, you can see a big old scar across my throat where I had a tumor removed. My brother's spine was severed. And that was one of the other vows that you take, that your spine would be severed. Your back would be broken. There's all kinds of vows, and our family has gone through it. And I believe that some of that was that throat, that hand was on my throat that would try and shut me up from preaching the gospel. Some of you have had callings on your life, and you've never gotten beyond a desire because there's been a power over you, and you've not known what it was that's contained you and it's hindered you. And when you try and step out to glorify God, that thing comes on you and you go forward 5 steps and you get knocked back 10. But I'm here to tell you, in this life, God wants you to fulfill your calling and your gifting. And this is tonight, things are going to change. God's going to begin to restore. And even the years, you're never too old, people. God can do more in 6 months than some ministries do in 60 years. Amen? So if you have Masons in your family, Eastern Star, lift your hands. Rainbow Girls, any of those things. Say, Father, I ask you, Lord, for mercy tonight. Every vow and every oath that was taken to the Masonic order, which is a false religion that denies the atonement of Christ, I stand before you as an intercessor. I ask for forgiveness. Forgive all the Eastern Stars' vows and oaths and Rainbow Girls and all that was done in secret. All that was done out of ignorance. I ask for your mercy. I cry for your mercy. Let the blood of Jesus wash me and cleanse me and my bloodline. Forgive the oaths. Release my family from all the oaths that were taken to the Masonic order and the Eastern Stars in Jesus' name. I bind every demonic power, every strong man that was assigned to me the day that happened. I bind the powers of darkness, and I command you, devil, to loosen your hold upon me and my family. Release my family. Break the power of this false religion In Jesus' name, I break the chains and the shackles that have robbed me of my ministry and my destiny. And I command you to take your hands off of me. Loosen my throat. Loosen my tongue. In Jesus' name, I break every curse that my back will be broken, that my throat will be slit, that my bowels will run out. I command every cancerous spirit to leave me in the name of Jesus. I bind every demon of cancer, and I command you to go. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. I rebuke death in Jesus' name. Father, we just bring all the demolays, Father, all the young men, the masculine part of the eastern stars, God. We ask you for, say, Father, forgive those oaths and vows that were taken in the name of Jesus. Let the blood of Jesus redeem and set free from every oath and every vow that was taken as a demolay. In Jesus' name, Job's daughters, break that power. In Jesus' name, I command you to let us go. I rebuke you. I break that iniquity and that ownership over our souls. Loosen us and let us go. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask if you make your way back, except the married couples, if they would stay up here. How many of you are divorced here tonight? And single and divorced? Okay, we want to pray for you. Those of you taking your seat, wait a minute. If you've been divorced or single, or we want to pray for divorces tonight, because we know that, you know, we know the enemy has come in. Yeah, everyone else can sit down, but we want to pray for the divorced and the single people too. Divorced and single. Sometimes you guys feel left out. I know. You're just single. But you know something? We need you. The body of Christ needs you. And you're not castaways. You're not a third party. And yeah. And the enemy has kind of beat some of you up. And it makes me mad. Because you all have such worth. There's such worth in you. And you know, the enemy has fought you. And that's what makes me mad. Because he knows the worth that's in you. But he's so deceived to make you think that you're not worth anything. And it just makes me mad. Father, I pray right now over every one of these that are here that are single or divorced or even widowed. And I pray, Lord, that your hand of love would reach out to them. I pray that those who are divorced, that you would release them, God, from the stigma of being a divorcee. The stigma or the shame that society has labeled them. I break that power in the name of Jesus. I ask that you release them from every soul tie of relationships of the past. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you break every power where the enemy has held their lives in limbo. Some of you are in limbo. You just can't go on. But today, tonight, God's going to break that power in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, by the sword of the Spirit, that you loosen them. That you loosen them from every soul tie and every relationship of the past. Those that are even single, God, that end the divorce days, from every relationship that's been illicit, that has been lustful. I ask that you break that power in the name of Jesus. I ask that you forgive them for giving of them their souls to sexual encounters, God. And because of it, they've become fragmented in their souls. They've given of themselves here and here, even as a younger person. And Lord, they've lost their direction and they've lost their purpose. And I pray, God, that you break that power off of them and that you restore their souls to them. Lord, I pray, we just call, but I want you to lift your hands. And I want you to say, Father, restore my soul. Restore my emotions, my personality. Restore my call, my giftings, my mantle anointing. Restore my visions and the dreams that you've given me for my life. Restore my ministry. I call it back. I take back what has been given away through the years. I call back my soul. Restore my soul. Restore the years that the cankerworm has eaten away. Restore my joy. In Jesus' name, take grief out of me tonight. Take the sorrow out of me and the sadness. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Take loneliness out of me, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, I pray that none of these here standing before you will marry out of your will. But we proclaim it into the heavenlies that they will marry, if it's your will, Father, and your timing in the will of God. That they will not marry a deceiver or a counterfeit. They will not be plundered another day. They will not be robbed from or brought under spells. But I pray, God, that you ordain to these, Father, tonight, Lord, that you would bless them and ordain their steps and ordain their future spouse if it's your will for them to remarry. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you for doing it, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. God, we just call down their ministries, Father. We just resurrect the dreams that have died and the visions that have died and been buried. We resurrect them tonight. We call them out of the tombs of the past, Father, tonight, into resurrection power. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.